My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are taking you up to 6:30 in and around D.C. today. We've got Caps tickets for you to win right at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. If you want to see them take on Montreal on Halloween, you better be listening to this show. And we got a great program planned for you. Trey Wingo of ESPN fame at 3. Austin Eckler, running back with the Commanders. Weekly appointment brought to you by IT Cadre. He joins us at 5 o'clock. Hello, Daniel.
What's up, Jeeps? The axiom, not all heroes wear capes, is a thing that gets thrown around a lot of times. I got to give a quick shout out to Lisa and Brian. So their son had a birthday party. It was originally scheduled for Saturday, right? And everyone's like, well, that's fine. Well, you know, we'll do that. We'll go to the birthday party. It's great for the kids to have a birthday party. But then they went, wait a minute. Monday's an off day for some people, not everybody. A lot of parents are working. A lot of parents are sort of not working. Kids are out of school. What do? They had the birthday party on Monday. So old Randy Duye shuttles the little guy off to the birthday party, drops him. The wife comes home from her work and is able to pick him up. They ran these kids ragged. There's a picture, I'll show it to you, where this trio of dudes, these little boys who played soccer and some basketball, like street hockey, shot each other with Nerf guns. They took a limo to a laser tag spot. They got home and played more sports. There's a picture of the four of them just passed out on the ground, basically. Ran them ragged, exhausted. A public service was done right there. Heroes. Heroes is the word.
A limousine.
A limo.
To play laser tag.
Yeah.
That is the greatest elementary school age birthday party idea I've ever heard in my life.
Is that the coolest thing you've ever heard?
I mean, that's pretty unbelievable.
So my little guy was kind of going, I ran a special car. We're like, okay, it was a bus, buddy. He's like, no, it had a name. Like, yes, it did. Like, what was the name? Was it a party bus? He's like, no. He's like, it was a car, but it was really long. I was like, a limousine? He goes, yeah. It was weird. It was brown inside. Like, that was his extent of his appreciation. He didn't really get the limo part of it. But, dude, that's going to be a story.
I think the first time I ever got into a limousine might have been senior prom.
It was like prom style? Yeah.
That's a pretty strong birthday. Well done by them. If we're starting the show with shout-outs, if that's what we're doing.
Give a shout-out.
I'm going to shout-out the fall.
Here we go.
It is officially fall.
Here we go, fall.
We have claimed fall for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
We have welcomed and said thank you to fall for showing up for a little while.
Here we go, fall.
But today I walked outside and it was like 60 degrees.
Yeah, it was.
I thought about running back in the house and throwing on a hoodie. The fall has arrived. And for that, I thank the greatest season that we have. It is a Survivor Tuesday on Grant and Danny. So we should direct you to Facebook. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny, where you can vote a player off the island and vote a player immune today. Danny, update us on who is still available to be selected for immunity this week and who is still left on the island.
Young Mr. Jaden Daniels on offense, Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler, Terry McLaurin, Brandon Coleman, and Sam Cosmi are your offensive players. On defense, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu defending immunity weekly champion, Benjamin St. Juste, Quan Martin, Jeremy Chinn, and the greatest kicker to ever live, Austin Seibert.
So you're kicking one of those names just mentioned off the island. It can't be Frankie Luvu, who does have immunity, but that means you cannot vote him immune, although I thought he was much quieter in this game.
Not much impact.
Than he has been the last couple of weeks. So you're booting somebody, sending them home, you are giving somebody immunity into next week. Go vote. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Massive NFL news today. The New York Jets have traded for Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers didn't like Robert Saleh that much. He got fired. Aaron Rodgers threw his wide receivers under the bus last night. He's had an ongoing issue with that offense and some of the players in the receiver room, it seems like, and just his trust of them. And now they're bringing in Davante Adams. But Aaron Rodgers most certainly does not run the Jets. He was unhappy in Green Bay and left the Packers because he didn't have enough personnel control, supposedly. And now he is with the Jets, where it seems like he has a lot more control. Enter guys like, over the last couple of years, like Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard, and you name it, they show up, right?
Yeah, so the point where
Nathaniel
it was like...
Nathaniel Hackett's his play caller in OC until yesterday when the duties got ripped away.
Yeah, it got to the point where it's like, Aaron, Randall Cobb now runs a 5-flat 40. We can't keep him on the roster. It's like, fine. Lazard Adams, please. Like, it's now absurd.
I still don't get how they never signed David Bakhtiari. I just have to imagine he's not physically right. Available and capable. But the point of the dude's story is Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers are linking back up in New York. Maybe a day too late. The Jets needed him last night. They played the Bills tough. I give them credit, Danny. That was a good football game in primetime. But the Bills are a first-place 4-2 team. The Jets are 2-4. And for the moment, Buffalo's got a tiebreaker. That is a damaging loss.
Yeah, what a swing game, right?
The first game of new head coach Jeff Ulbrich, the interim tag. And I thought Todd Downing, the new OC calling the plays, did a really good job, actually, getting the run game going. Rodgers was more comfortable, it seemed like, in the pocket than he'd been. He threw for 294, some of those yards on a Hail Mary at the end of the half. But it was a pretty solid Rodgers performance.
Number one, the greatest Hail Mary thrower in the history of the planet, Aaron Rodgers. It's unbelievable.
What do you think he does differently or better?
I don't know.
I had some guy on Twitter come at me. They're like, a Hail Mary is luck. Why are you giving him credit for being so good at it? Well, guy, because he does it more often than everyone else and hits it at a higher rate than everyone else. So it's probably not just a coincidence. I think he has the ability. Russell Wilson does this too. So I don't know if we could check and see what his Hail Mary resume looks like. To do the moon ball bit, where it's like 60 yards in distance, but also he hits it really high. His launch angle is super high, right, and the ball still gets over the fence.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson famously has the last week of the replacement refs, that controversial touchdown in the back of the end zone, right, where he did that one. I just topped my head. But I don't know, but that's unbelievable. So the Jets win this game if they can make a couple field goals. The wind's not swirling the way that it was, right? Or, you know, they have a good chance to, certainly, because I know Tyler Bass missed a field goal too, but... That was a great football game that was also bad at the same time. Like, that was wildly entertaining, but there were mistakes and there were penalties, and but there were a bunch of big plays as well. That was a huge win for Buffalo. Not, you know, adverse environment with a little bit of a dead cat bounce, replacing a coach right there. Damaging loss, certainly, for the Jets. You understand where the Jets are, though. They've got Aaron Rodgers now. It's not 25-year-old Aaron Rodgers. It's not 31-year-old Aaron Rodgers. He's almost my age, basically, right? So you're pot committed to having a season right now. You can't let it slip away any further. Losing that game last night may have lit a fire.
I think it certainly did. It's now time to win or your season's over, to your point. Davante Adams can still play. There's a big difference between him having now been labeled a malcontent, where with the Raiders, he helped get Josh McDaniels fired. He helped advocate to bench Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, this is the expected kind of outside looking in or suspected, basically, input that he gave. And some of it, I think we can base some knowledge on, because that Netflix wide receiver show didn't paint him in a very good light, but he was pretty candid about not being big on McDaniels or Garoppolo. But here he is now annoyed by and with Antonio Pierce, and so they're at odds, and he hasn't been playing, and he's got this bum hamstring, but he's supposed to play already on Sunday. So apparently that hamstring is feeling a lot better.
Flights help it. If you fly across the country, it helps.
Yeah, I think the Jets clearly have some doctors on staff that the Raiders don't have because they were magically able to get that hamstring feeling a lot better.
They scienced it, yeah.
If they really think that he's going to be able to play this weekend. So that's pretty amazing. But the Jets have the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, which will be a tough game. Then they've got the Patriots, a game you can win. The Texans, they'll be heavy underdogs. Cardinals and Colts games you can win. They just don't have any more margin for error. They've got to rip off probably 4 wins in their next 5 to have a shot going into the stretch run of the season, and Davante Adams will help them do that. I thought Garrett Wilson was fantastic last night.
That guy's awesome.
So to have him on one side, he's coming off 8 for 107 and a score on 10 targets, and Davante Adams on the other side with Aaron Rodgers playing better. I mean, the two of his last, I'd say, four games have been really good, and they finally ran the ball. I don't know if that's now that they figured something out or if that was just a one-off against the Bills, but Downing gave Breece Hall 18 carries. He went for 113, had a long of 42 in the game. That was by far the best they've looked running the football. But the bigger news is not that they hung with the Bills. Buffalo gets a win, 2 touchdowns, no picks for Josh Allen, who's had a pretty clean season so far and has been great in their 4 wins. The bigger news is Davante Adams has been acquired. And it sounds like he is not the only wide receiver in the NFL on the move. We've got some breaking news coming into us right now. This is according to Jordan Schultz. The Browns are trading wide receiver Amari Cooper to the Buffalo Bills. Another big-time wide receiver on the move. We do not yet have compensation on this deal, but the Browns are trading Amari Cooper away. The Bills, who are 4-2 and a contender in the AFC, are bringing in a legit weapon for Josh Allen. All breaking news on The Fan brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com.
I've always been an Amari Cooper guy. He doesn't have the greatest. He's not one of those dudes that after every first down has like a big choreographed dance or doesn't seem like he's that excited. It's just this very technical, solid route runner, good hands. Just seemed like he was miserable, though, in Cleveland. From the outside looking in, I have no idea. And from Cleveland's perspective, this makes sense. It's lost. I mean, this ship is sinking. Get what you can get while you can get it. And again, it makes sense for Buffalo, too. They've kind of said, hey, maybe we'll be able to replace Stephon Diggs' production with committee. Curtis Samuel and Shakir and Hollins and Keon Coleman. And the answer is maybe we can't. We probably need an easier button, someone that's going to draw some attention, make some big catches for us. Makes sense for them, too.
I have said for years I don't understand why the NFL trade deadline is not more like the other sports. Why there wasn't more activity, why there aren't more players of note being shipped away. I mean, here we are still almost 2 weeks away from the deadline, and you've got a couple of blockbuster wide receivers moves. I think that's awesome for the sport. We've seen it trending this way the last couple of years. That's my first takeaway. Next would be, I love this trade for the Buffalo Bills. Love it. They need a wide receiver one. Keon Coleman might eventually be really good, their second-round pick this past year. He is not there yet. He's just not ready. He doesn't get open enough, doesn't get enough targets or catches. But that tells you that he's not coming free. Mac Hollins is big. He's physical. He can help in the red zone. We saw that last night. But he's a down-the-depth-chart guy. Khalil Shakir is more of a gadget guy. I'd say the same about Curtis Samuel. Get them in space. They can work the middle of the field underneath stuff on screens. But you don't have a third-down war daddy. You don't have a I-need-7, get-me-8, physical, box them out, run routes, middle of the field, digs, in routes, the crosser, turn it upfield, run into some bodies and pick up the yards needed. And I think you get that now in Amari Cooper if you're the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's having a very good season without a legit wide receiver one at this point. 10 touchdowns, no picks, but he's having to do a lot of extra work with his feet that isn't sustainable. And I think they want to get better throwing the football. This will help them do that. The difference between this and the Adams deal, in my opinion, Danny, the Jets are 2-4 and probably not going anywhere quickly. The Bills are 4-2, a threat to Kansas City and one of the best teams in the conference, and they just got a legitimate weapon and a really good football player.
Yeah, this is what you do, right? If you're the team that's going to be in the postseason, think about for baseball. You're the first place team. Yeah, we could use a bullpen arm, or yeah, we could use a fifth starter or a corner outfield bat, and you pilfer from the losing team that's not going anywhere. Much less common in the NFL, but it's a good trade for all parties, honestly. Again, Cleveland is done. They're stuck. It's Watson. The ship is on fire. It's sinking. It's been split in half by a Kraken. They have no chance. So you start moving some of these parts, get some cap savings. Next year, Cooper, I think, has a $23 million cap hit, give or take. Bills don't care about next year. Don't care about 2 years from now. They got a window. The window may not be as wide open as it was a couple seasons ago, but they're still pretty damn good in a very winnable division.
Shouldn't the Browns, if they're selling off and admitting defeat and calling this season what it is, shouldn't they rip the Band-Aid off?
Yes.
I mean, there is such a thing as a sunk cost fallacy, right? People are familiar with this concept.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is, in a sunk cost fallacy, well, we already spent the money, so we got to use it. In fact, you've said on this show that you're this guy. Not that you're Mr. SCF or something, but basically, if I buy my kid something, you're going to use it.
Yep.
If I spend the money, we are going to get that thing. We're going to ride that bike until the wheels fall off, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns made a terrible decision.
Yes, they did.
Blame whoever you want. Ownership, GM, staff, I don't care. It doesn't really matter how or why we got here with Deshaun Watson. He is incapable. He is incompetent. That offense is broken. And the longer you play him, it will not get better. This is now 3 years of banging your head against the wall, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And the only argument to continue to play him is he's under contract for 2 more years with gigantic guaranteed cap numbers, $70-plus million each of the next couple seasons in terms of his actual cap numbers. So we don't have a choice. Sure you do. Your choice is don't allow the terrible, awful decision to continue to fester. Rip the Band-Aid off. Keep paying the money you have to in dead money, whatever it takes. Or if you want to keep him on your roster and just tell him not to show up to work or be the third quarterback if he's willing to do that, then be my guest. But they have to end this charade immediately. And if they're admitting today that it's over, that the competitive portion of their season is done with, which is what you're doing when you trade Amari Cooper,
yep.
Now is the time to do this.
100% agree. They've got some really good pieces. I mean, that's kind of my intrigue for the Browns this year was they were an 11-win team last year, right, with Joe Flacco? I think I've got that number right, but they've been competitive. Their roster is good. It's legit good, or it was really good with Cooper now without him, but there are pieces that a lot of teams would be interested in. See Denzel Ward, Miles Garrett, Jack Conklin, David Njoku, Dalvin Tomlinson. They got pieces on that roster that other teams would be intrigued by. Now, you know, there's something to be said for who are your guys that you're going to build around, but there's also something to be said for we could really restock here as we get out from under this Watson thing. And by the way, a $200 million dead cap hit were they to cut him. First of all, can you imagine?
No.
Second of all, if this is the start of something, then there are some teams I can think of, maybe a couple, one pretty local, that might be calling or should be calling and just inquiring. What's the asking price? Too much, thank you, or that sounds good to me. Something intriguing.
Here's your trade details on the big swap between the Browns and the Bills. Amari Cooper from Cleveland to Buffalo. The Browns are getting back a third and a seventh round pick for Amari Cooper. The Bills get a sixth round pick. So basically a late round pick swap with a third.
Basically a third, yeah.
By the way, if you're keeping score at home, Devontae Adams got a 3. Could end up being a 2. Amari Cooper nets a 3 with a late round pick swap. Didn't Jahan Dotson get Washington a 3? And oh, by the way, that 3 is going to end up being a higher 3 than either of those other teams probably, because it's Miami's 3, which right now is slotted in the middle of the top 10. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Adam Peters. Talk that S. Adam Peters. Take a bow. Comb your hair just so. Looking in the mirror at that jawline, what do you see?
I see a handsome man who made a right decision.
I think I do, too.
Don't you see that?
Not a bad decision by Adam Peters. Speaking of the Commanders, a lot of breaking news coming in. We just got some news on one of their upcoming games getting flexed. I think this will excite fans. We'll give you the details on this as soon as we return right here on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30, 4 hours from now. Coming up at 4, we're giving away Caps tickets. Trey Wingo in a half hour. Looking forward to talking to him. Austin Eckler is on the show today at 5 o'clock. Make sure you're locked in at that time. Here's your news we teased going to break. The Commanders and the Bears play in Week 8. Suddenly, that matchup is looking up. Chicago's won 3 in a row. Caleb Williams has played very, very well during that stretch. Both of these two teams feel like they're playoff bound, led by the top two picks in the draft. Caleb Williams won one to Chicago, and of course, Jaden Daniels won two here to Washington. The 1 o'clock kick in Landover, Maryland has been flexed to 4:25, and it'll be the nationally televised CBS game now. They are switching the A crew of Jim Nantz and Tony Romo onto that broadcast. So the Commanders, for the second time already this season, are seeing a game fought over and moved around to accommodate a larger national audience. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and jagglemen, I believe that's the, is that from one of the movies my kids watches? Maybe Sing. The Caitlin Clark effect. No, the Jaden Daniels effect. This is the Jaden Daniels effect.
We thought this might be a possibility when we looked at the schedule upon its release, right? As you look at, quarterbacks 1 and 2, there's intrigue there. Both teams were decent. There was a possibility that could go to Sunday night or some other kind of big spectacle and showcase, and sure enough, it's materialized that way. Only bad news is that it's a Romo game now, whereas before it would have been listenable. But here we are. It's a big deal, man. And what happens when you're in desire, when you're in demand, is things like this keep happening. When you're the darling, the attention is going to come hot and heavy. So I expect more of these things as the season progresses.
I want to go back to the point we were making right before the break about the wide receiver trades. There have been two pretty massive trades in the NFL today. Devontae Adams goes from the Raiders to the Jets, and Amari Cooper is headed from the Cleveland Browns to the Buffalo Bills. He will almost certainly play in the playoffs, and Adams will do everything he can with Aaron Rodgers to ensure that the Jets also make it out of the AFC East. Last night did a little damage to their hopes, but it's still very early. But both of those players net what is the equivalent of a third-round pick. If Adams has a monster remainder of the season, it's possible that ends up being a 2. And there's a pick swap element to get the 3 of the Amari Cooper deal, just like there was for Jahan Dotson. But I don't think we can underscore enough how big the Adam Peters trade of Dotson was. And I don't care that he hasn't really done anything in Philadelphia. New offense, new scheme. What, you know, he had a couple of games where everyone was hurt, where he had a great opportunity, but none of that is relevant to me. I'm not covering that team. I don't know what the specific situation is. What I do care about, Danny, is they got basically equal value for Dotson as future Hall of Famer Davante Adams and, I don't know, maybe future Hall of Famer Amari Cooper. And every trade's a little different in terms of term and how much a guy makes and what money you're taking on and what's left on the contract. So it is not quite apples to apples.
Right, I think that's fair.
So everyone can save their lectures on why it's different. The point is, what'd you get back? Everyone's saying third rounder, and one of these guys is not like the other. I think that's a massive win and a really good look for Adam Peters today. He'll get a text from, you know, Mitch Rails and Josh Harrison company at some point saying, nice job.
Right. I mean, so nobody's suggesting that Jahan Dotson and Davante Adams are the same value. That's not the point, right? Obviously, there's context. A huge salary demand for a player lowers the amount that he would be worth. If it's just an open bidding and there's no contract involved, what was Davante Adams worth? Probably a first rounder, maybe multiple, but that's not what's happening. Of course, you have to tick on the salary and everything else. But just the way of the point, I think it's a very good one, is at the time, my view, and I think a lot of people were going, we're not really sure about this receiving room. It wasn't worth you know, finding out a little bit. Maybe Dotson could pick it up over the next few seasons when you've got him and under control and there's no issue. And are we sure? Are we sure? That's a pretty bold move. And you fast forward, what is it now, 7 weeks since then? And you go, yeah, that was the right call. That was, and it's not one of those, well, in a certain light, nope, correct call. Door is shut. Let's move on to the next place. Like, 100% right. Absolutely. They were right. Anybody that doubted them, I think it's reasonable to ask questions, but they knew what they were doing and they had it figured out in this regard. So the Dotson and a fifth with a third coming back, they had a plan and it was a good one.
Everything's looking up for the locals.
Yeah.
Games getting flexed to accommodate bigger audiences. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants a piece of Jaden Daniels right now. And the move that they made before the start of the season, which, by the way, has not really hurt them.
Not at all.
And again, Dotson not even mattering what he's done in Philly, but we were talking yesterday, it'd be nice to have a weapon. It'd be nice to have another player. I don't really think there's been a point this year at all where the wide receiver position has been an issue. Again, want versus need. Mm-hmm. You could even say in the big picture, if you want to be a great passing offense, they need more help at wide receiver. That's not what they are. They're not a great passing offense. Right. They do a pretty good job being efficient. They're a run first, run second, let our quarterback make a play with his feet kind of offense, and they get in where they fit in vertically and horizontally in the passing game for the most part. But Terry McLaurin is on his way to a career high in touchdowns. Noah Brown has done a pretty good job on the outside. When they've needed Luke McCaffrey, targeted 11 times, 11 catches. When they've needed De'Ami Brown, they've been there. If you had a horse, a star, if you had Justin Jefferson, you could redesign the whole offense and get them involved, and maybe it'd look different. You don't really have that, but I don't think it's been an issue. They were the number one scoring offense in the league going into this past week, and they didn't lose this game because they couldn't move the ball or score.
Yep, 100%. And I thought it would be a weakness. I thought it would be a huge issue. I was wrong. They are leading the league in points scored, fifth in the league in yards per play, even after a good defensive performance by Baltimore this past week against them. So it's absolutely not an issue. The only thing I care about, a lot of people care about types of plays, like the Neanderthals that want to yell about establishing the run or run the dang ball like it's some secret formula. I don't care what you do. I only care about effectiveness. So there are a lot of different ways to skin a cat. Look at what the Ravens do versus what, say, I don't know, the Patriots with Brady and Randy Moss did, where they didn't even bother to hand the ball off. They just threw it 60 times a game. There's different ways to skin the cat. When you're effective, just be effective. How you do it is great. So they confidently said, we don't need the skill set that this guy brings, or lack thereof in this case. They have not missed his production in any way. And each week what would be happening is if the offense was scuffling, as it was last year or, you know, at times the year before, you're going, well, why aren't you getting this guy involved, this guy involved? There are no questions about who's involved and who's not. Do you know why? They're first in the league in points, fifth in yards per play, and the offense is good. So, ta-da, right? You don't need Jahan Dotson. What you could use is the third-round pick that's coming in the future. So it's exciting.
Yeah, happy about that. All right, let's get to the fact then that the Commanders, for the first time all season today, at least in one place, I haven't looked at all the books, but I got an email from Bet Online, and Washington has been installed, Danny, as the favorites to win the NFC East at that sports book today for the first time this season. If you look at the numbers, it's not by a lot. They're plus 125, a little better than even money, but you are getting what you put down and then some. I believe the Eagles were second. I'd have to pull it up at right around plus 150. So right behind Washington. And then there's a little gap between the Cowboys and then a big gap between the Giants. But first time, Danny, all season, mm-hmm. that the odds makers are saying Washington is going to win the NFC East. And it comes after a loss to Baltimore. Tells you a lot about what they thought about what they saw in Charm City from the Commanders.
Yeah, each week, each thing you turn in becomes more validating the larger sample that you get. In other words, do we know now they're plenty good enough to beat up on bad teams? Yeah, we've got some pretty good data that says that. Can they compete with some of the really good ones? Yeah. After Tampa Bay, it's hard to, you know, it was hard to say that, right? Because they got throttled by Tampa. Now, that's week one. Weird stuff happened in week one for a lot of teams, not just them. So I don't want to say you throw it out, but I think you count, if you're weighing the sample, that one weighs a lot less than, say, the last 3 weeks to me. But just, and I think maybe it seems they view it the same. Right now, they're top 10 in almost every power rankings you're going to find. Right now, they look better than their competitors in the division. You got Jerry Jones on radio in Dallas threatened to get hosts fired because they asked him, hey, what happened this offseason? In Philadelphia, Nick Sirianni shaved his head like he's Britney Spears mid-meltdown, and he's screaming at fans. And he brings his kids to the presser so no one asks him questions. That's who they're competing against. Things are smelling a little rosy here in Washington right now. We're not used to that.
I would take this situation over the other situations. And you don't even have to think twice about it. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I do think this is a nice chance, though, to open up the phones for the first time today to take the temperature of our listening audience at 1-800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067 with this question. Do you agree that right now the Commanders should be considered the favorites to win the NFC East? I am going to say yes. I have felt this way for a couple of weeks. That's not to pretend like I expected any of this. I didn't. But after the way they played the Bengals and then beating the Cardinals how they did, it became fairly apparent this is a really good offense, that this quarterback is different and unique and special. And I just thought the division wasn't very good. So you could really start talking about not that they might or could win the division, but that they probably have a really good chance to, and maybe even use the wood should. Now, a couple of weeks more intel later, with the Cowboys getting embarrassed by the Lions and the Eagles, who just can't seem to get out of their own way. You beat the Browns by 4 off of a bye with Watson laying another egg in a game where Cleveland only scored a touchdown via special teams on a block kick.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't run away from them and hide. You couldn't put the game away. There's just something not quite right there. It has smelled bad. It's like you get in the car and you're like, what did we leave in the car? Something's not right in this car right now. That's what the Eagles' entire building has been smelling like since week 10 last year, basically. I can't put any faith in them.
Yeah.
I do believe Washington should be considered the favorites in the NFC East because they have the quarterback playing best. Right now, this moment, they are the best of those teams. They have the best resume, I guess is what I should say, through 6 weeks of football. And on top of all of that, Danny, their schedule is pretty good moving forward. It's not a terrible schedule. They've got the Panthers this weekend, the Bears after that, then the Giants, then the Steelers, who don't even know who their starting quarterback is right now. Maybe the most beatable 4-2 team in recent history. They play the Eagles. We're supposed to be worried about that. That's their next kind of quote-unquote difficult game against a really good team. The Cowboys, they play them twice, Philly twice. Again, we're saying that they're not scary. The Titans are bad. The Saints might blow out their coach. I don't know. Who's good that's left on their schedule? The best teams left on their schedule, in my opinion, are a Bears team that's beaten no one, a Falcons team that is just okay. They don't play the Chiefs. They just played the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see those teams on their schedule.
So before this week, okay, before Sunday at 1 o'clock, I said the Eagles are still the most likely team to win the division. One, because I said, okay, once Brown comes back, once Smith comes back, Lane Johnson comes back, you know, it'll take them a second to kind of get, in comfortable with Kellen Moore, and they'll have enough time. They'll do some self-scouting during the bye week. They'll hit the ground running. They're going to win the following set of games, and we're going to look up. They'll have a great record. Cleveland, Giants, Bengals, Jaguars. That's what they had coming out of the break. Okay, coming out of their bye week, right? So I'm going, they'll be 6-2. And even if they're not that good, that's tough to overcome. So they're going to have a great chance to have a really, really good record. Now that I saw them against Cleveland, I'm going, I don't care who they play. They're middling. Maybe they'll get better. Maybe something will all kind of coalesce. They'll get us against the world mentality and, you know, they'll start beating people again. I'm telling you, they are unimpressive. And I've kind of, you know, I don't say I've given up hope because I love them losing and I hope all their fans are miserable forever. But I just sort of thought there's enough track record here. I know they swooned last year, but they're still a 10-1 team from a year ago. They're still a team that had a great chance to win the Super Bowl with that same core, the same coach. We're just abandoning them way too early. I'm off the ship. It just didn't look right. It still doesn't look right for them for whatever reason. They can't. Their best win was that fluky Week 1 win against Green Bay. Since then, it's been eh. And what about eh scares you?
We can ask Trey Wingo about this at the top of the hour. He's joining us in 20 minutes, right at 3 o'clock. But let's hit the calls on this next. 800-636-1067. The Commanders are showing up in books today for the first time as favorites to win the NFC East. Should they be considered the favorite to win the division? Are you ready to say that as we approach Week 7? This is The Fan.
I think we're probably also talking a little bit about like what we want our identity to be. And we faced a team yesterday that's had an identity that's been entrenched for a while. And we probably recognize, you know, the biggest truth, we're not where we want to be yet from that. And so before you can do a lot more, you got to get that part under. And you need fights like yesterday, man. I'd love to tell you they came in good when you're being able to pull some guys in the fourth quarter, but like, you need to be in these hard matches that suck and you're pissed at the end because you didn't make the play that you needed to make.
I was going to ask Darius, was that from Sunday or Monday? Was that Dan Quinn audio? But then I realized how truthful he was being.
So it couldn't be Wednesday.
That sounded like to tell the truth Monday to me.
That's Monday.
That had to be his press conference yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was just being so truthful. He was keeping it real. He was giving you the real, Danny.
My face hurts. Does your face hurt?
Well, you got hit with all that truth.
I got hit with all the truth right in my face. Smack me in the face with that truth. I'm like, ow, bro.
Stings the nostrils a little
Lie
bit.
Lie a little bit at least. Turn it down some.
So, Darius, I don't even need to know anymore. I already know that was from Monday because that was a lot of truth being told right there. I am humbled by that truth. I don't know about you guys. On it to tell the truth Monday. The good guys are 4-2. They've got the Panthers coming to town. Great chance to get to 5-2. Their game next week against the Bears is being flexed to 425 to accommodate a national audience. We're asking you, should the Commanders be the favorites in the NFC East? They are showing up now in some books as the favorites to win the division for the first time. BetOnline put out their odds via email to, you know, people all over the country that are in sports broadcasting today, and they show Washington now narrowly ahead of Philly as the most likely team to win the East, and I think that's how it should be. That's not just reactionary to this weekend. It's a six-week sample, and the Commanders have been the best team, and at the most important positions, on the field, on the sideline, in the front office, they've been better. Let's go to John, who's in Centerville on Grant and Danny. How are you, John?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good, good. Yeah, I think we got a lot going for us. I think we smell blood in the water. Dallas, Philly, I think the expectations are there for them to win the division. There's going to be a lot of pressure going into those games. You said last week Lamar has a crazy record against the NFC because they don't see him a lot. I think one advantage for us, you know, Quinn's seen Dallas, he's seen Philly, but no one's seen Jaden. So I think we can at least snap one from each of them, and that might be enough to get it done.
I like the math there. I mean, that's what we talked about through the first 5 weeks of the season. You drop one this week, obviously, but by going 4-1, you give yourself some opportunity to hit a bogey or to par a hole or to lose a game or two, right, as you kind of go through it. when you are 3-6, as they were in, say, 2012, you got no margin for error. You can't lose a single one of those games. And those magical runs were just that. But we talked about this a million times. When was the last time they were good from the beginning, middle, end of the season? Just a regular good football team. And that's what this looks like, right? They haven't had that since, again, probably 1999, where they started off well, played well in the middle, and then weirdly played well in the end. And we're just pretty good, and we're a playoff team.
10-6, by the way, that year.
And that's all we're talking about.
13-3.
And that's all we're talking about. To me, this is, yes, it's Washington. They jumped up a weight class and show you that they're better. But to me, it's more about the rest of the division. Honestly, is why I'd go now they're the favorite. Because if there's too many bodies to crawl over, it might be more difficult, but Philly ain't great, neither is Dallas.
Let's go to Sean in Falls Church on G&D. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Thank you. So, I would say that Philly has the personnel, but they just can't figure it out. I would say Dallas thinks that they have the person, or Jerry more so thinks that he has the personnel, but he just is never going to figure it out. I think if Cleveland has that fire sale that they should be having, I think if they take Nick Chubb and throw it into Dallas, I think that that's a different situation. I don't think that's going to happen. But if that does happen, whatever, I still think that the Commanders have what it takes and the personnel and the drive to take care of business. Again, the Giants, yes, of course, they're there and they always play tough and they actually are probably playing above their weight class, but they're not going to figure it out.
Right, it's a low ceiling team, yeah.
I would say this too, and thank you for the call, buddy. We appreciate you. I think his caveat's important. I could see the Eagles making a trade. Howie's always very aggressive. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to win this season. This is their window, so to speak, with Hurts having been paid. I could see them going out and adding talent that might change the picture in the NFC East. I could even see the Cowboys with Jerry feeling the heat literally today on the radio getting crushed for their offseason. Now, their cap situation makes it really difficult, and frankly, I don't know how they'd be able to pull it off, but there's a want for them possibly to go get a running back to go help themselves. I'm not sure that Adam Peters and Washington are going to try to make moves or want to go add talent and fix problems because they're ahead of schedule and they might be waiting for this coming offseason where they have the second most money in the NFL to surround the quarterback with talent in a more thorough free agency period. And that we don't know. So we're just basing it on right now, this moment. Yep. But clearly, if the GMs get aggressive, it could change some things. Kendall Crofton, you're on the Fan. How are you?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's our division to lose, obviously, for the points that you guys and everyone has made. Dallas, I don't care if you can go get a – they're terrible at this point. The Eagles, too. And then the Giants are the Giants. So that's one aspect of the equation. But the other aspect – is that our offense with Jaden at the helm has proven to me that even if you take one of their main drivers away, which the Ravens did, Jaden can still just torch you from the pocket. And so our offense is a real offense. And so when you talk about we haven't been just a good team, you know, first half of the middle of the season and that, in the end, I think with this offense, even though the defense is suspect as all get out, I think that we can beat anybody with this offense. And so with that being said, I think we're going to just continue to just chop our own wood and not even look over there at Dallas, the Eagles, and New York, and we're going to win this division.
I'm here for that. Kendall, I'm going to steal a phrase that you just said. It is Washington's division to lose. Forget all of the expectations and being ahead of schedule, and they're just in their first year of this coach. None of that matters right now. They're going to be 5-2 if they don't lose to a terrible team at home this weekend. And at that point, with their remaining schedule and everybody else's, plus the resume, it would be a letdown not to win the division. It is now in your hands. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to. And to use his terminology, it's their division to lose. I think that's the right way to put it. Let's talk to Trey Wingo about this and other NFL items. The former host of NFL Live on ESPN for many years joins us on Grant and Danny, top of the hour at 4 o'clock. Beltway Blitz time today. We're giving away Caps tickets. That's an hour and 5 minutes from right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.